is now time for Kids Q, designed to promote fun and healthy communication between parents and children. It's our Kids Question of the Week, every Wednesday and Friday at 3:30. That would be now. It is presented by some great folks out in Carrboro, the PTA Thrift Shop and the brand new Youth Works on Main Collaborative. That's the new building right next to the thrift shop. It's a beautiful community home for some great child-focused nonprofits, including Youth Forward, Triangle Bike Works, Musical Empowerment, the Skajaja Fund, Healthy Girls Save the World, and more. So get ready for this question. It's a good one. Get your kids ready as well. Speaking of getting your kids ready, I'm joined now in the studio by Gene Bolduc, the host of the Weekend Water Cooler here
WCHL. Your childlike host of the Weekend Water Cooler. That's
there you
right.
Go. How are
I'll
you?
Take that. I'll take that as a compliment. I'm promoted to being childlike. I like it.
Yeah. How are you doing?
I'm good. I tell you what, I am loving the weather. I'm just looking at the forecast, and there's not one 9 on it.
Yeah, right? Yeah,
I can take
85,
it. Just,
87,
I'll just
83.
Take about 60 more days of this straight. It'd be perfectly fine with me.
Yeah. Well, I was in the, we were in the Outer Banks last weekend,
yes.
Partly during
I
the power outage.
I understand you kicked the power out
we
when you were there.
We kicked that power right out.
That's right.
Yeah.
They're on to you, man.
Well, they said shut out the lights when you leave, so we did.
Yeah,
I don't
right.
know what the problem was. Everyone had an issue just following instructions to the letter. No, it was great. We were on Hatteras for a day with the power out. They had backup generators going in Buxton, so rolling power outages to make sure that the generators didn't get blown. And that's why they kicked all of the tourists off afterwards,
right.
So that the residents would have power and they didn't have
right.
to worry about that. But then one night that we were there before, I mean, we had to check out the morning that they kicked
right.
everyone off anyway, so it didn't affect us. But it was great. There was a restaurant open. We went there. We had a good meal. We came back. We were without power in the hotel room for a little while, but then it came back on. We had air conditioning. Like, it was
Jeez.
Not a problem at all, actually.
Yeah. And anecdotal evidence that it wasn't
anecdotal
a problem
evidence
at all.
That it, well, it wasn't a problem.
I'm sure the Chamber of Commerce
wasn't a problem
down there would disagree.
For me.
Not for
That's
you.
The, yeah,
this
by
is
the,
what we're talking about, the what's in it for me crowd, right?
What's in it for me, yeah.
Right.
So, all right, are you ready for today's question?
See, what's in it for me, that's an electric joke.
Oh,
but yes,
hey,
I'm ready. I'm always nervous about this now.
All right, here we go.
It's a lot
here,
of pressure.
Here is today's Kids Q question. This is for the whole family, so get your kids around. This is a good one. What animal, so we're going to be talking about politics in a second.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, well, that's a lead-in.
Yeah, get ready, you know, get ready to make your Trump comparisons. What animal would make the best president and why?
Wow.
Of all the animals in the world, which animal would make the best president and why?
So,
I'm going to assume that they all have the ability to speak and communicate. So,
well, they do with each other.
They do with each other,
we
right.
We believe, certainly.
On a certain level, like, octopi are really, really smart, but if they lack the ability to speak and communicate, then... like, it really wouldn't work all that well. Like, what should we do? Like, I have no idea what you're doing
know.
There.
I don't
yeah.
know.
Like,
well, you know, so what animal would be the most
effective? The tweets would be real
so
weird.
We have to think of what the characteristics are that make a good
animal.
President.
Yep.
And make a good president.
Characteristics
and can
that
we
make
find
a good
those
president. Yeah.
In an animal.
I got
let's
a
see.
Good answer
what
for
is,
this.
What is the animal that has the smallest number of predators and the most flexibility in living environment? What's an animal that can live in the water and on land, for example, who is adaptable?
Okay.
And
I think you're going to wind up saying
we might be able to rule out humans at this stage.
I was
going to
say,
but
you're going to wind up saying cockroach.
Yeah, like,
what
I'm
is
thinking
the hardiest
I'm
animal
thinking
in the
Gregor
world
Samsa
that's going to be around
might
forever.
Have been the greatest president that we never knew.
Yeah, right.
Because of that, but. And it's easy to say dolphin because arguably the smartest, but you know, I don't know. But what predators does a dolphin have? Maybe a gigantic.
They got to watch out for bumbling humans.
Yeah.
I think is the dolphin's biggest problem.
Well, right. I mean, yeah. So you have to worry about those animals that are vulnerable to human assault.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with an animal that. Can generate maximum affection that people will follow or that their group, right, that the world will follow willfully and happily.
Okay.
Beloved. I'm going to say a golden retriever would be a pretty good president.
Oh, nice. I like that.
You know?
That's pretty good. Yeah. All right.
Who in the world doesn't love a golden retriever?
Who would oppose a golden retriever?
Right.
Yeah, that's a good one. All right. I'm gonna get a little bit more esoteric because I always talk about this with Susan Brown when we do Talking Books, but I'm currently very, very close to being done with this project that I've been working on all year long, which is to pare down my collection of books that I have. I've got two bookshelves, and I want to fit everything that I own
that's
on the two bookshelves.
That's your must-have collection.
Right.
Okay.
And to have read everything on the shelves. I don't want anything like just sitting there that I haven't read. So I'm reading all the books that I haven't read, getting rid of the ones that I know I don't need anymore. So what I'm reading right now is Plutarch's Lives, which is a two-volume set of biographical essays written by a Roman writer named Plutarch who lived just after the BC AD changeover.
Right. So at the beginning of Donald Trump's life.
Pretty much, yes. And I have it, by the way, because and I wrote my dissertation on the founding generation and the early American political thought, and the founders were really enamored of the Roman Republic
and the
switch over to the Roman Empire, and they loved Plutarch. Like all of them read and quoted them. So I bought the books a long time ago, and now I'm finally reading them. So it's all about it's biographical sketches, but it's all about moral virtue and good people, bad people, what they do, what they don't do, how to lead, how to be a good person. And one of the things that he says, he's talking about, I can't remember the particular person, but he's talking about a Spartan leader.
Okay.
And this was a person who was Spartan leader born into the royal family. So his father was the king of Sparta, but he wasn't the oldest brother. He was the youngest brother. The oldest brother, because of inheritance, is raised up to take over as the king.
Okay.
Everyone else in the family, including this guy, is raised in the traditional Spartan way of military virtue, and you have obedience drilled into you over and over and over
and
again.
And duty.
Obedience, duty, don't care about yourself, only look to the common good, follow, follow the rules, all of that. But this guy ends up, by circumstances, becoming king. So when he becomes king, now he becomes king having had this education of obedience and moral duty. And that combination makes him a much better king than he would have been if he had been raised to believe you're the king, your word is law.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
So I'm going to say an ant.
An ant.
I'm going to say an ant would make the best president.
That's a very good choice because they work so cooperatively.
They're cooperative. They care about
everything is about the colony
good.
And not about the self.
Yes, they care more about the survival of
and that movie, Ant Z, is, you know.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Well, a lot of people thought that movie was called Ants,
but
if you really look at it, the character's name is Z, and he's Ant Z, the whole point of the movie was that it turned out that he was an individual, but then he came to understand the value of the colony collectively. I'm guessing here, but I don't think that kids who are thinking about these questions necessarily are going quite to this ancient Roman level.
I've got the book in the room with me. I'm holding it up right now.
That's right. He really is. Holding up TV Guide, I promise.
No.
And it's not Reader's Digest.
And
it's
that point really stuck with me, like being raised in an education to...
That's a very, very good point. Yes, that if you're raised with an expectation of service as part of an army of service to your society and not for yourself... If you should end up in a position of leadership, you would be a very different sort of leader. That's a very interesting approach.
And kind of a little bit of a far cry from current leadership.
I'm not sure that current leadership would even understand that
concept.
Absolutely
not. And
although
I say current
really
leadership, and obviously we're thinking Trump, but beyond Trump as well. Like you think about most world leaders, like they're in it primarily for themselves.
Well, I mean, these days I'm kind of off Trump and I'm thinking of Mitch McConnell. He's kind of the target of my wrath lately because I feel like he, less so with Paul Ryan, or as I call him, Eddie Munster.
Yes. Looks more like Novak Djokovic than any monster, by the way. It took me forever to figure that out.
I guess that's true, but I feel like I have more respect for Djokovic than that.
That's fair, yeah. What did any monster ever do? He's a cute little kid.
He's an adorable kid. He's about an 8-year-old kid, though.
He's like the golden retriever
He's a golden retriever of 60s black and white TV shows. Yeah, well, you know, so the thing is about them and about all of this, I don't want to say I'm proud of McConnell. I see it as a tipping point this week. It's something I was really watching for is to see whether or not the Senate would go into recess for the weeks between now and when they return in September.
To give Trump the opportunity
anything that he could do during a recess, including just going out and playing in a sandbox because it's recess, which I think is on the menu.
Well, he is going to New Jersey for 17 days.
Same thing.
Chris Christie has proven, the best thing to do in New Jersey is to go and play in the sandbox.
After you've closed the beach.
After you've closed the beach.
For the great unwashed. but I think it's a really important signal that the Senate took this step. That does not happen without the okay from Mitch McConnell. And I think it's a very important signal that the Senate does not trust the president enough to stay out of obstructing an investigation.
Well, I mean, there's two different bills that are now going through the Senate.
Both
of them are bipartisan. You've got the Lindsey Graham and Cory Booker one that's gotten most of the press, but then there's the other one that just got introduced yesterday by Tom Tillis
of all people,
Chris Coons of Delaware. Both of which would protect Robert Mueller from being fired.
Yes, and it's an interesting approach. I hope they both pass, but it's an interesting approach. They protect Mueller on the front end and on the back end, and what they do is, in both cases, they say if there's an attempt to fire him, it has to go through a three-judge panel.
Right.
So I think one bill causes that to happen before the firing could take place, and the other basically gives a right of appeal, which is effectively the same thing.
Yeah. I think the Tillis bill is the right of appeal.
Right. Yeah. I think that the important thing in both cases is to make sure that documents that have been gathered by the special prosecutor already are preserved, because if he is allowed to fire him directly or indirectly, while they're going through a review process, what happens to those documents? Because I've been seeing Jill Weinbanks, who was an attorney who was in the Watergate proceedings. She's been very effective explaining a lot of great stuff on TV, and one of the things that she said is that, for me at least, this is sort of an unknown story in the Watergate era, is that right before the Saturday night massacre, when successions of people were fired, that morning of that day, that attorneys in the special prosecutor's office were bringing documents home so that they would be protected from being destroyed.
Knowing that this was probably going to happen?
Right. They anticipated that this might happen. And she said, you know, thankfully, we never had to face the dilemma of what is it that we were going to do with them? Because if, you know, they had been compelled to produce those, they would have to have admitted that they stole these documents.
Right.
So they can do a lot of things to protect documents that have been turned over. Like now, you know, they're all scanned and electronically stored,
like,
probably
in today.
Multiple
in
locations, one would hope. But it's interesting to know about, you know, I would be fascinated to know. I'm sure the books that are going to be written about this are going to be fascinating about, you know, the custody of those documents and what would happen if you know, I hate to keep saying this, but if Trump were foolish enough, as if that's a standard anymore, to even attempt to fire Mueller. I just can't imagine he would be that dumb.
Well, that pretty much locks it in stone that
almost,
he's going to.
It's almost certainly that he's going to try, right? I mean, he can't fire him directly.
Can't fire? Well, no, he can order. He can order what's
he'd
his
have
name?
To
Rosenstein
order Rosenstein.
To,
you know,
well,
there's all the
yeah.
all the talk about Sessions, but he'd have to order Rosenstein to fire him, and Rosenstein would have to comply. And I don't think he would. He said he wouldn't.
Right.
Then he'd fire him.
But then that can lead to.
Then there's only one deputy below him that can take over that role.
Well,
who's
right
Senate
now.
Confirmed. Yeah. Right now. nobody else is going to get Senate confirmed.
Yeah.
I think the logistics of actually doing this are problematic.
That's, and just the attempt would be...
Right. I think that they would convene impeachment hearings immediately, and that would happen quickly.
Yeah.
I think if they, even the attempt to fire one person, I think would do it.
We'll see. Speaking with Gene Bolduc, the host of the Weekend Water Cooler, by the way, today's Kids Q question, which we moved on from, but what animal would make the best president and why? If you're driving around or if you're at home, ask your kid this question, see where the conversation goes. Gene said golden retriever, I said ant. Both of us agree that those are two fantastic answers.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of other animals out there, so let us know what you got. If you got great answers, share them with us on Facebook or Twitter. Tag at WCHL Chapelburg and at YouthWorks on Maine. That's Works with an X, YouthWorks on Maine, using the hashtag KidsQ.
I can't wait to see those.
So check that out. Yeah, those are going to be good, right?
Yeah.
I think our answers are pretty good.
I think our answers are good. Yeah. I mean, I still like dolphin because dolphins are smart.
Dolphin's a good one, too, yeah.
And I'm not sure what leadership qualities they have, but they don't have a lot of predators. And
octopi are also really smart. The only problem with an octopus is that they can tweet using 8 different tentacles at once. So they'll get into a lot of trouble real quick.
And as we know,
that
is a problem. I'm not sure we want to extend the reach of government like that.
Yeah. On the other hand, octopi would probably be very a lot more amenable to freedom of the press because they also produce ink.
Oh, my goodness. If you're driving, please pull over. That is twisted, man. Yeah, they get their ink by the barrel, I guess, even if they're in the ocean.
There
they just
go.
Produce it themselves.
Yep.
That's right, ink. And it's ink, not
and
toner.
Ink. Yep.
Now, Occupy don't produce toner.
That we know of. I mean,
that we know of.
Well, a lot that science still doesn't know about
answer
the
right there. Well,
secretive world of the
science
octopus.
Science doesn't really know the answer to
All right,
that.
Who's on the Weekend Water Cooler this week?
Who's on the Weekend Water Cooler is Orange County Commissioner Penny Rich.
Yes.
And we talked about, of course, political life and kind of where the Democratic Party is, you know, at 30,000 feet, kind of going forward in the state of North Carolina and in Orange County and... various things of that nature. And she also gave me an update on how things went a couple of weeks ago with these visitors that came through and visited with Orange County government officials to learn about how different governments coordinate at different levels at the Orange County government and the schools, and they have kind of an overlapping jurisdiction, and how do they move money around and all this stuff. And the most amazing thing that came from it that I thought was fascinating was that they just could not believe the number of citizen volunteers that Orange County has, more than 400 that run all these advisory boards and commissions, including my beloved Housing Authority. And as you mentioned earlier on the program today, that
we're going to be
opening up the waiting list for exclusively for persons who qualify as homeless.
Yeah, so go back for a second
vouchers.
Because we started the hour with the story about the Orange County Housing Authority opening up Section 8 voucher applications for homeless people. Specifically, you are the head of the Orange County Housing Authority.
It turns out I am, yes.
Yeah, what's your take on that?
Yeah, so we earlier this year in filing our annual plan, changed our preference categories and added a homeless preference, which through a point system basically, sorry for the word, trumps all the other preferences so that people who are homeless rise to the top of the list quickly. And a number of homeless individuals are essentially being tracked by the Orange County Homeless Coordinator through caseworkers and just coordination efforts that have been ongoing for a long time. And so we're opening the waiting list through the period of time that you described, and we'll be accepting applications. And we'll also have, the county is also going to ensure that there are wraparound support services so that families who are, or individuals who are applying through this don't just sort of get dropped off at an apartment complex with keys and you know, no furniture and no food and a song with, you know, good luck with your new apartment that you have nothing to put in except yourself. So so we want to make sure that they are genuinely being lifted up out of poverty and moving towards self-sufficiency. And we're very excited that we're going to be able to give out some vouchers pretty soon to some folks who really, really need them.
Awesome. Gene Bullock, when's the weekend water cooler on this weekend?
The weekend water cooler is on tomorrow at noon and Sunday at 1 o'clock. Don't miss it. Don't miss it.
Absolutely.
Penny Rich is a riot.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
She's a great guest.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron.